I am not Randy Milholland from somethingpositive.net, but you are still listening to the Webcomic Beacon.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 38 of the Webcomic Beacon. I am Fess of Fessworks.com, and co-hosting with me this weekend in place of Tanya and Aaron is Eric of Xern.com.
Hello, everyone.
And a special guest this week is Dan Shive of Elgunis Shive, EGScomics.com, I believe.
That is correct. Hello.
Welcome very much. And this week we are talking about trans and morph webcomics, or at least webcomics that utilize those elements. And Elgunis Shive, Dan, when did you start working on Elgunis Shive, and can you tell us a little bit of the general plot?
I got started doing things with it in high school, but it only really got online in 2002. So I've had the basic ideas for it for a while, but I only really started with a general idea of, okay, I want a mad scientist and I want weird things to happen. And a general plot synopsis is hard to do because it's getting, well, it's complicated story and it goes in a lot of different directions. It's starting to reach a point where I could summarize it better, but it's not quite there yet. But it involves a lot of magic, a lot of science fiction, if you can call it that, and a fair amount of transformation. And it focuses on 8 teenagers and the things they go through. Some of it more normal than others. And, well, as I said, it's hard to describe.
Right. So when you started, you originally had a science fiction theme in mind. Did you plan it to go towards more of a high school drama at the time?
It's hard to say. I'm not really sure where I intended it to go exactly. I had an extremely vague idea of what I wanted to do and just knew that I wanted to do it.
Did you have all the characters defined at the beginning, or have you added as you went along?
I didn't have all the characters planned at the beginning. I had several of them. Nanase was technically planned for another comic entirely, and the general plot of that comic's actually being absorbed and somewhat taking over Elgunis Shive, but that's actually somewhat good. It gives it focus.
Mm-hmm.
Ted, I originally thought of because I wanted to have a mad scientist, and Sarah was just a character I came up with who originally would actually be pretty much the focus of the plot. She would be the person things would plot around, and Elliot started out as basically a self-insert, and I didn't really know what his personality would be.
That's cool.
And when I say self-insert, I mean idealized self-insert because...
Right.
Yeah.
Lots of people. Is there any other way? Any other way to self-insert these days, it seems. Okay, let's see here. Oh, man, I just lost my train of thought.
Well, there are a lot of references to other things that happened with the characters in Elgunis Shive. Are those actually comics that have been made? For example, there's something going on with Sarah and being a cat that was never defined. Is that comics that actually exist, or is that still just in your head?
Yes and no. I did some drawings in high school, and the whole thing with Sarah and being transformed and it being an incident with Ted...
You are unmuted.
What?
Sorry about that. I was unmuting the chat room. Go ahead.
Where was I? In the original thing, I did some fun sketches in high school, some comics where Ted and Sarah had a science project together, and Ted accidentally transformed Sarah to be part Pikachu.
Oh, Okay.
And it's based on that, so I like keeping it vague in the comic itself, but the incident, slightly modified, is based on something I drew in high school.
And did you originally have plans to make this as more of like a print comic, or were you like, when you were developing it in high school, like what prompted you to say, hey, I can put this online?
Basically, when I was in high school, I didn't have much confidence in what I could draw, regardless of what anyone else told me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think I could make comics and have them be published anywhere. But at some point, a friend of mine pointed out a bunch of web comics online, and that it's not up to anyone else whether or not you can publish them there. And I thought, okay, I want to make comics and share them, and I can go online. Who's going to stop me?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, your art has really improved over the year. I mean, really, there's been a fantastic change. How did you work on your art?
I just drew a lot. I drew the comic a lot, and I paid attention when people said, this doesn't look right, or that doesn't look right, and I studied more of anatomy. Like, the characters, they're still not proportionately realistic, but they're more proportionately realistic than they started. Like, it used to be that half their bodies were made up of their legs. Now their legs take up somewhat more of a realistic proportion.
Okay.
It's like everything but their heads are getting closer to realistic proportions now.
I don't think I can picture any of your characters with realistic eyes.
No, that'd be weird.
That'd be weird as heck. As you were developing the stories for EGS, is if people would go through and start reading, well, they'd have quite a session to read to catch up to date if they start from the beginning. But in the middle, you have a really serious storyline where it gets a little bit more PG-13 and violent, I guess. And I guess I would classify your comic as more so PG all around, I guess.
I would say PG-13.
Okay. But you had the more serious story in the middle that was going towards more violent, more danger. And was this something that you wanted to do outside of, or maybe you were just getting a little bit tired with how things were going and you wanted to try something a little bit more, quote-unquote, serious within the same comic?
That's an interesting question, mainly because I actually didn't want to do the storyline.
Hmm.
The storyline is what I refer to as a cascade error. See, as I've mentioned, when I started the comic, I only had a vague idea of where I wanted to go with it. But nonetheless, I established all of these plot points that I would have to one day deal with. And I reached a point where I decided that wasn't really the direction I was going in, and yet I really needed to address it. So that's where that story basically came from.
Which
so you had all these ominous plots that at one point you said, I don't want to do ominous things, but you had to get it out of the way.
Yeah, and I'm working through some of those things now, and I've reimagined and retconned things to make it so I can do what I want and still have those things be canon.
Mm-hmm.
But
what is to do?
I didn't hear that.
What do you want to do?
What did I want to do?
You said do the things I want to do. What would, if you had your brothers, what would Elgin Ashai be right now?
It would be pretty much where it's gotten to at this point. It just wouldn't have had that story there.
Okay.
I'm guessing for people that may not be familiar with the comic, a lot of that story that we're talking about had to do with the character Grace's origin.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess an explanation of the morphologies that can occur, right?
Yes.
And you're now trying to bring things a little bit more full circle so that you can still explain things, the plot seeds that you planted long ago, but do it in the way that you're more so wanting to do it now, without just taking a big deviation. Is that a good summary?
Pretty much.
All right. Let's see here. I got to ask a question about that serious storyline that you had. You had several characters in there. Do you think they'll ever come back into the story?
Oh, yeah, they'll come back into the story, but they're not gone. I mean, as I said, I revised a bunch of things to make it work. There's a character, Vlad, who is in the story, who got changed a great deal.
Mm-hmm. Was that really just because you didn't want to draw him so detailed anymore?
Oh, no, I wasn't referring to what happens towards the end of that arc. I was referring to just in general. I mean, originally he was just supposed to be a big bat-like humanoid creature, and he wound up something very, very different.
Right. Let's see. Well, approaching on the topic that we've been, the basic topic of the show this week, which is transgender and morph aspects in webcomics. There are some people that would raise a finger and point. You do a fetish comic and such, and I know that you've gotten poked at and questioned this. How, for the people that say that your comic is a fetish comic, what would you say to them?
I would say for some people it is and some people it isn't. Because, you know, different people read it for different reasons, and there are people who read it for those elements. There are people who read it for the story, there are people who read it for the humor, and there are people who read it for a combination of those things. So it really depends on your personal view of it, and if those people see it that way, then they're technically correct, but it is subjective.
Right. So, what are your personal intentions behind it? As far as from what I've read in the comic, it doesn't seem like it's that you are designing it as a fetish comic at all, or it's just there's these plot points in there and they work well with telling your story. But is there any aspect of it that kind of that is ever pandered for the fetish aspect?
Within the main story, no. I have what I call a filler section where I just have like sketches and drawings and stuff to fill up time. And there will be times when those can be pandering. But within the story itself, I like to avoid that because I don't want to pander.
That's pretty cool, actually.
So you don't ever feel like you got to throw a random transformation in because that's just what people are expecting?
No, and there are times when I actually avoid doing that or cut things back, or I'll think this might be a place where I could put one in, but it's less funny and more pandering, so I'll take it out. If I want to include something like that, I'll throw it into filler section and let it be in there.
I like that. I like that idea, separating the fan service from the story. I guess it keeps things a little bit more regular. Awesome.
Do you find that filler section is really helpful for you? So sort of, you know, clearing out stuff that you want to throw in but just isn't called for by the story?
It can be. It's mostly useful because it's extra content that I can provide when I have to stop the story for whatever reason. And also, for back to the question of whether or not some people consider it a fetish comic, my traffic goes up when I post stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there are definitely some people who are only there for that. And since traffic leads to better advertising and more money for me and whatnot, it's at least useful from a business perspective. If I want to draw something weird or whatever, I can just draw it in my sketchbook, and the filler section doesn't really... The filler section is not necessary for me to get stuff like that out of my system, but it can be beneficial.
So the filler section really is sort of a business decision for the most part. It gives you extra content, and it does up your traffic.
Pretty much. It can be fun to make the stuff, and I do make some of the things that I post there for fun. I make the things just because I want to. But the filler section itself was originally created because I needed to have my wisdom teeth removed, and I was told I would be out of commission after that for a little while. Though I actually didn't feel that bad afterwards, which I was told was weird, but whatever.
Right. Oh, okay.
Well, awesome. And with since you've been around for, well, since 2002, you said?
Yes.
I bet you made a lot of webcomic contacts in that year. Do you have any, are there any people which you would say that are like big friends of EGS as far as webcomic creators go?
There are webcomic creators who I do talk to. I do have some contacts. I don't know precisely what you mean by big friends, or
I guess I'm seeing if you're in league or if you made friends with like a lot of the other big names, because I would consider you like one of the big names out there.
I would consider myself above average, but not necessarily huge.
Okay.
You have inspired a lot of other strips, though. I mean, there are a lot of things that are built that have been inspired, and you cite Ilguna Shide as one of their inspirations. And you said you were inspired by online comics. Do you remember which ones inspired you?
Yes, the first webcomic I was exposed to that made me believe I could post my stuff online was Sluggy Freelance.
Mm. Okay. I thought that was a longer question than it actually turned out to be. So what are the comics that you like to read online?
Trying to mostly plug things now?
Well, before we start plugging things, let's take a quick break. And I got Tanya banging on the door, so we're going to hear in for the second part of the show as well. So right now, we'll take a break and we'll come right back.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
And invite Tanya.
Hello.
Hello, Tanya.
Hello.
We're already halfway through the show.
No, hey, I'm only 15 minutes late.
Can you turn down your mic a little bit, Tanya?
I think I can.
Maybe about 25-30%.
Okay. I was ghost hunting.
Or maybe the mic is too close to you. All right, we're back. Tanya has graciously joined us. And
hey!
And we're going to take off where we left off in the break. Dan, what are some of your favorite webcomics that you read right now?
I regularly read Girly, if you've read that.
Oh, yes, sir.
Commissioned comic.
All right, awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I always like to take an opportunity to plug that, because I never see it plugged anywhere.
We actually, funny thing, the two comics you've mentioned, we've actually had both of them on the show at one point.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we had Obsidian on, I think we're on like number
on.
7 or something like that. Yeah, we were talking about commissions, basically.
I think it's just reading from the guest list from previous comics. I'm not going to tell them what they want to hear.
Well, I also read Girl Genius and PvP Online.
Cool.
Excellent.
Cool.
Girl Genius is excellent.
Yes. Incidentally, Phil Foglio, whenever I see him at Comic-Con, for whatever reason, I always refer to him as that guy. I'm not He comes by the booth, I say, oh, it's that guy. And I also read Penny Arcade.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Pretty standard.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of comics that are... Oh, Sinfest. I should have mentioned that.
Yeah.
Dominic Deegan. Ooh.
Yay.
Oh, jeez.
Stop it. I'm a Deegan fan, too, so...
I'm sorry.
You wonder if you read Notwick.
I used to. I haven't had an opportunity to lately, but I did used to. I love Notwick.
Well, Notwick's basically ended for now.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, I think he's just running reruns on his website. However, he has new content with Full Frontal Nerdity,
which
is funny. And he has something on crispygamer.com called Backward Compatible.
Okay, that one I haven't read. I do read Full Frontal Nerdity on occasion.
You should check out Backward Compatible, though it is... do you play video games?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, it's about a gaming magazine. It's not at all like PvP Online, because people are instantly going to compare it to that, but that's what it's about, and it's funny. So,
I'll
read that.
Yes, sir.
Go for all of you. Support Aaron Williams and his domination over the universe.
Yes.
Let's see here. So you don't read too many webcomics?
I don't read a lot, and I'm nervous about listing them just because if I leave someone out, they're going to yell at me. And
oh, we'll yell at you anyways.
Okay.
Everyone always needs something to complain about, it seems so.
With that.
there's also Crossworlds.
Yeah.
I was thinking I maybe should have Tom on the show, but I wasn't sure, so I just got Eric here.
Tom would have been here with pleasure. Although we would have heard Tom for the entire show then.
Yeah, that's true. He does he does like to talk.
I would say I'll tell him you said that, but you
I'm
sure he listens.
Yep.
Yeah, I do a podcast with Tom every week, and so we battle for the mic. But I can hold my own against him. I'm pretty proud.
I should utilize my power to mute people.
Oh, so long as I was praising Aaron Williams, I should also praise something else that he does. PS238.
Oh, see, I haven't read that one.
No,
It's not so much a webcomic, though. I do think he posts some of it online. Oh, yeah, he does. It's the only comic book I regularly purchase from comic book stores these days.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah, I haven't read a print comic since I was, like, 9.
Jeez. You've missed a lot.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've also not spent a lot.
Well, you've missed a lot, but it's all been retro-conned out of existence, so you're about back where you started.
It depends. It depends on what nonsense you're reading.
Okay. Let's see here. Well, there are some other... moving on from this, unless there's some other websites you want to plug real quick.
I better plug The Watch or Anne will yell at me.
Well, that's probably a good one to plug since that's kind of what we're rolling right into next. Other webcomics that utilize morphine and transgendering. Eric, do you want to take this one? Talk about The Watch?
Talk about The Watch? I mean, The Watch is another comic that was inspired by Dan's, actually. And it's another one of these high school kids having adventures. It's very similar in style to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, almost, with lots of morphing and transgender going on as well. And that's about it.
There was lots of morphing and transgenderism in Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
No, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if someone who into morphing and transgender was writing it instead of Josh Wheaton, who's into randomly killing people. So anytime Josh would have killed someone in the show and turns them into a girl. So that's what
Now, see, now we're going to get hate mail because you've managed to symbolically link being a girl with a fate of equal to death.
Only relative to Josh Whedon.
Oh, okay. All right. It's just in Joss's universe.
And now that you've mentioned Josh Whedon, I have no choice but to mention that I ran into him once at Comic-Con.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's
ooh,
cool.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did he kill you?
No. No. I just shook his hand and ran away.
Yeah, Dan was not sympathetic enough to kill. So.
I met Alec Baldwin. Like that was the closest I got.
Oh, sweet. That's cool.
He was really nice. Yeah.
Awesome.
Was he red?
Was he what?
Alec Baldwin was red.
He was not red.
Well, I've seen interviews when he wasn't prepared and without a standard television makeup. He looks more red than he does normally.
You know, he actually looked. He was very normal. No, he looked like he'd been in the sun. It was about it. He didn't look red. No. He looked slightly frightened. There were you know, hordes of people at the convention. It was a small convention, so the fact that he was there sort of, you know, had crowds of people glomming onto him, and he was trying to shop, which is really something no one from a Joss Whedon universe should ever try to do. And so he was like wandering around with the regular folk trying to buy t-shirts and stuff, and that was just a bad idea.
Oh, I think I might have actually been thinking of a different Baldwin.
Oh.
Well, there's so many of them.
Cool. There's...
They breed.
Soon, all there will be Baldwins.
Jeez, I hope not.
They'll take over.
I've been awake for more than 24 hours, so you should ignore me entirely. I'll just giggle and say, yeah, that's cool.
Okay. You got your approval on the Baldwin domination of the United States. All right.
Yeah,
they need more female Baldwins, so let's transgender some of them.
And speaking of transgendering, let's talk about transgendered comics.
Oh, really?
Okay, fine.
What a strange topic to bring up.
just to bring up the well, as far as like the constant or more regular morphing and transgendering, I guess EGS and The Watch are the ones that would have it in their comics the most. The only other one I could think of, it doesn't update, hasn't updated for a year, is Abstract Gender, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, Abstract Gender had one character who could change. And, I mean, yeah.
But it was a little bit more frequent than just as a plot point.
Yeah. And there's others, some of them not updating. There's Discordia. And like I said, there was Clan Bob, which is way back in the late 90s. And just trying to think of some others. Dan, can you think of others along this theme? Nope.
Spark.
Hang on, we're getting some errors here.
Yeah.
Errors?
Okay. Okay, Dan, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying that there's a sparkling Sailor Valkyrie, or I forget what it's called.
Yeah, but is there transformations, or is it that's just one character was transformed? I mean, that's sort of one character was transformed. Isn't that just a plot point?
Well, if it's a major emphasis, or it's a major, if it's a defining role of the character, it could be. I mean, even if the one character in Abstract Gender didn't transform back and forth, it was always the main character that was just transformed once into a girl. It was constantly a thing that kept coming back up. So it doesn't need to be active to have a major influence on the comic.
I don't know. I sort of see that as a distinction. I mean, of two types of comics there.
Perhaps.
Oh, okay.
It's a commentary.
But, yeah, I mean, well, like I said, there's metamorphos.org that has a huge list of all of them.
Yeah, I was just looking over them.
Go through a whole bunch of them. Sometimes it's just one bit, and sometimes it's a major point. I mean, even Order of the Stick has done a transgender one. That's pretty common.
I
forgot to say Order of the Stick. How did I forget that?
Now there will be help.
Yeah, now you will get emails.
No, he got it in there. He got it in there, so.
I'm registered at the forums and everything.
Oh. That's just unforgivable.
Well, we'll still get the links out there. Well, yeah, like you said, there's a Metamorphos.
Yep.
We'll get how you're supposed to spell that in the show links. So there's also somebody else. Yeah, I think, Eric, you sent me tgcomics.com.
Yeah, that one's just transgender. That one's more adult, so you got to be a little careful going through that one. I mean, when you get into transformations are usually pretty innocent. Squirrel Girl it's not innately sexual.
Right.
Transgender, you're talking about gender.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some pretty naughty ones out there, I suppose.
Oh yes.
Well, it's a, you know, sexual component.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, Mark Savory did a review of a webcomic called Transmissions, which was a comic about I believe a woman who is transgendering into a male, as in, like, you know, the actual doing the surgery and doing the medication, not where it's like magic or like science fiction. And there was also this other webcomic that I used to read that was called Changes, which is about a guy doing the, you know, the surgery and all that into a female. And so there are some of those out there.
And Venus Envy, another one along those lines, yeah.
And those...
Oh, I love that name.
Changes was way more of a sexually orientated webcomic, as it was also a BDSM webcomic. But a lot of that has very interesting storylines or plot points of which it's discovering more about yourself, what you're attracted to. Because, you know, there's not just no straight gay anymore. There's so many different levels of gender identity, how one sees themselves, and how they see themselves as being attracted to the same sex or not, depending on a lot of factors. I'm not one to. I have no idea. No, just a general idea. But
aw, you're such a cute little straight boy.
Okay. Getting Dan, sort of along these lines. Why do you like transformations in your comic? What do you like? Why do you like it?
Why do I like it specifically in the comic?
Yeah. Why do you put it in? What does it do for your story?
Well, the comic is primarily humor based, and there's a lot of opportunity for jokes.
Okay.
Like, I'm doing something right now where one of the main characters, Elliot, is sort of getting stuck in a situation where he's transforming, And that's a source for humor primarily because he's a character who wouldn't necessarily do that voluntarily.
Right.
Like, if I had Ted, a character who would and does do that voluntarily in that situation, it wouldn't really be funny, but there's potential for humor with Elliot and also various... Like, one of the things I had recently was he realized when he was in a particular form that he was completely anonymous. No one
right.
knew who he was, and he could just... And it was just a desire to cut loose and act crazy, and he's usually somewhat... What?
Reserved?
Yeah, reserved. That's a good word to use there.
I like Elliot.
So it's just a way to explore his character and give him some interesting things to do and to put him in awkward situations, which is useful for comedy.
Yeah.
So it's a comedy tool for you?
Basically.
And the animal transformations, squirrel girls, and that sort of thing, also comedy tools?
It's primarily comedy, and it's, for some of the combat elements, it's interesting. It's also fun to come up with cool designs for, like, what Vlad wound up being. That was a fun form to design.
Mm-hmm. Would you say... If not for you, but possibly for other people who have interests in you know what we're talking about, that it's a little bit more along the romanticizing of you know what is most likely not ever possible in to happen in real life, but
it is definitely a romanticized version of it. It's the transformations and things are so ridiculously convenient and safe that it just allows people to imagine if I was in that situation, I could do that stuff and it would be fun as opposed to scary and dangerous and frightening.
Yeah.
There's an attraction to wanting to be something else other than yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, that's sort of one of the reasons, but I mean, do you find you have a kind of diverse audience with people coming in for reasons that you weren't even intending to cover?
Oh, yeah,
like, I mean, do you have transgendered fans?
Yeah, but, well, yeah. When you look at a fan base, you're going to have people from all sorts of different varieties, no matter what you do.
Right.
And... In my case, yes, there are. And so far, I have yet to get any negative feedback from lesbians.
Excellent.
That sounds weird, but that's... As far as I know, all the documented email evidence I have seems to be favorable in the realm of lesbians.
I found my new tagline. I have never gotten
a lesbian
feedback
who does
from
not,
lesbians.
If you're a lesbian who does not enjoy my comic, feel free to prove me wrong by emailing me. I'll be waiting to hear from you.
It's always good to get another perspective. Is there, what we've been talking about, there are people who look at these comics and people who do make these comics for a fetish or sexual reason. I have to ask, have you ever received any, say, creepy, unsolicited materials that that you wish you didn't never see?
Nakey fanfic.
Well, I don't read fanfics. And I've gotten fan art that's been borderline, but I haven't gotten anything incredibly disturbing yet.
Well, that's good. I got something incredibly... Yeah, I got something incredibly disturbing when I only had, like, freaking, 20 comics out there, so...
Yeah, that was pretty wrong.
I was just kind of curious about that. But it sounds like your fans and readers pretty much behave themselves.
We get along okay.
Bye. Well, that's
no
good.
No deaths have been directly connected to them.
No, not by Joss Whedon anyway.
Yeah. He's in the clear.
Well, we're at the end of our time today for this subject. We're going to have to take another break again, and then when we come back, we're going to just talk about news and such. Dan, we'd like to thank you once again very much for coming on the show this week.
You're welcome.
Is there anything else that we might have missed you want to get in right away before we go?
Oh, I've been having some fillers lately on the site, but the story is coming back on Tuesday of this week.
Awesome.
Excellent.
This would be Tuesday of a few days ago if you're hearing this on the MP3.
All right.
And it's going to be another slumber party,
story
right?
Comics right now. What?
Another slumber party, right?
No more slumber parties.
The longest story arc in history.
We're done with those.
Awesome. Well, I know I thoroughly enjoy your comic, and I recommend it everyone to check it out.
Absolutely.
At egscomics.com. Or is it EGS Comic?
Yes. It's comics.
Yeah, egscomics.com. Dan, thanks again for coming with us, and well, good luck with everything.
Thank you.
What is your problem?
I don't know how to say goodbye.
Hamster bagels.
Right. Hamster bagels, that's new. Cats in the oven, we've done that. Thank you very much for joining us, Dan. We appreciate having you on.
All right.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
This is Byron of StripFight.org, bringing you the weekly ringside update. Round 170, The Thing Under My Bed, went to Raygun of RaygunAtTheRadarStation.blogspot.com. Raygun displays his wrath and destroys the competition. This week our fighters are in your base, killing your Round 171 video games. Zach applies his craft. Vince is sent packing. Lisa and Peterson team up to complete the quest. Steve goes hyper. Aaron's life force is running low. And Tim, the answer is no. It's always no. We have 7 players online. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round, 172, Birth, still has a few days left before the deadline on August 25th. Get those entries in. StripFight.org. May the best comic win.
Never want people to go. That's all.
He just doesn't want to be rude in saying it. He's just nice. He's terminally nice.
I'm a Minnesotan. You know how many times Minnesotans say goodbye? We can have up to 12 different variations leading up to the final goodbye.
You just practice being rude. You know, it should be part of the show.
No,
I'm talking to you now. Get the hell out.
Oh, jeez. I want to get more people on the show. I don't want to drive them away.
Maybe if we just made it a tagline and everybody knew, you know, like when we invite them on, we tell them in the email, you know, we say we have this thing that we do to get rid of people. Don't take it personally, but we're going to tell you to go the hell home. And they just hang up on you.
It's
kitschy.
I should have asked him if he could have done a little promo for us, but that's okay. We got a lot from Comic-Con, which we are still you know, playing slowly.
Piecing through.
Yep. Let's see. I try to wait till the end of the show to figure out which one I'm going to use, because I'm going to go through them all, and then...
We did Girl Genius Guy, and we talked about Girl Genius.
Did I?
The last one. Was,
hey,
look, I like the last
Sexy Business
one.
Partner's back. Sorry. What?
I liked your last one, where he couldn't figure out what the name was.
Oh, yeah, that was Jeff Jacks. That was Jeff Jacks of,
yeah, that was classy.
Of Questionable Content.
Questionable Content.
Yeah.
Wait, what? I loved hearing him say, I've been drinking, and it's
I also have a version of that where he's not messing up, but since the show was Spectacular Failure number 2, I figured having the one with the most slip-ups in it. Short Pact also has a oops one, and one from Striptease also. For this show, I guess we could, out of the ones we got, we could plug a few different ones. One of them's, I'll figure it out later. White Ninja has 3. Kent and Scott both did an individual one, and then what I did, I spliced them both together. And I had them alternate a little bit. I spliced it in such a way that they said, you're listening to the Webcomic Beacon together.
Oh, nice.
It's crazy.
Done with audio equipment.
Okay.
Splice part.
Well, actually, you know, I guess I could have brought it up. I really don't like talking about my own comic too much, though I do like talking about it.
You do it every episode.
However,
you must not like.
No, I just, because that's what I like. I like talking about, ooh, I got this idea. No, but I never really put the link in the show notes anyway, so it's not like I'm. But it's related. You know, one of my characters, well, technically 2, but one of my characters at least is able to transform.
Oh, yeah.
And she can transform into a rabbit. And it's all a related part of the storyline. But I was thinking about maybe it's like I kind of want to have like a transgender arc, because I can make so many silly, funny situations with that.
It is actually a really good plot device. I mean,
it really is. I mean, this is something we didn't get into in the show, but I wanted to sort of talk about it. It's really a great for character evolution. You know, you have this character that's in one situation, it really pushes a story along where you just say, okay, change the body, and then that changes their entire world. So, I mean, transgender story arcs, you have a lot of them where the character is just stuck, you know, like Abstract Gender, my comic, and a lot of others. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of moves the story along. It gives it a lot of force, and it forces the character to sort of change their outlook on the world and see themselves and the people around them very differently.
Or like Abstract Gender, never ever reapproach it again and just kind of kill off someone's mom for apparently no reason.
I don't know what the heck happened there. Yeah, I mean, you do have to worry about the angst fest in the transgender comics, where it's just, oh, I've been turned into a girl, this sucks, oh, my life is horrible, and just for comic after comic after comic.
Yeah.
That gets really tiring really quick.
It's like, all right, evil girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but it is, there is something about this where you're saying you're taking away the person's body, and you're going to say, okay, who are you without this body? And that's a very good story element. And that's
a
very good
question.
Yeah. And I wanted to get into that, but I wanted Dan to say it because I didn't want to be orating for a half hour on things.
Right. Yeah, it's like, because you can, if it's especially designed as a temporary thing, you can keep them at home where they don't have to, where it's just amongst themselves and they have to worry about it. Otherwise, I mean, depending on how you have it happen, what about like while you're working, in the middle of class, out in public? How do you deal with this stuff? And then it's like, it creates a huge amount of possibilities, especially for humor.
Well, for human, but I mean, it also creates great possibilities for drama. I mean, it goes the other way.
Right.
You can have a very dramatic storyline because you're taking away someone's identity, and they have to redefine themselves. And so you have this genre like Dan does, where everyone transforms back and forth, and it's sort of haha, that's sort of funny. Okay, let's reset everyone back to normal. What a fun romp we had. Then you have the other one where people are stuck in this new body, or, you know, and this is really a lack of control. It's, you know, stealing someone's identity, their sense of self, and having to face who they were and find out who they are without their outward appearance. And so you have that second genre of, you know, abstract gender where, oh, we're going to change you. Now you have to figure out who you are again.
Right.
And so that's something, I mean, there is that separation in the genre where someone is stuck versus someone sort of transitioning back and forth. And I wish to God Dan was here when I said that, because I would love to hear his opinion. Oh, well.
Yeah, next time.
Next time. But I mean, yeah, you've got the humor, you've got the sexual one, and you've got this dramatic storyline, and they can all be very good elements to drive a story forward.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
I was trying really hard not to do just that on the podcast because I always do that, and everyone's afterwards like, yeah.
It's already kind of like that. Real quick, I was kind of paying attention to chat. Tara of Galaxian Comics or comic, I'll get it in the notes. .com was saying that XXX xenophile is something that had a lot of transgender stuff. And Studio Foglio, studiofoglio.com/xeno with an X .html. She says she thinks they turned it into a collectible card game, which is kind of cool.
They did. It was a horrible disaster.
Huh. Okay.
Because you couldn't keep your own cards.
Because you couldn't what? And
because it was a collectible card game, but every time you played, your deck got mixed in with the other person's. So you couldn't really collect the cards. It kept on getting swapped around. It was also a game that involved getting naked, which...
Oh!
It's hard to play at cons.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I suppose if you play it with some intimate friends, it'd probably be really awesome.
How many intimate friends do you know you just get naked and play cards? I want to know what's going on in your friend in your house, Beth.
I know, too. But I don't... but I haven't hung out with them for a long time, though.
Well, that's because every time they come over, you get naked and want to play cards.
I think we've nailed a correlation here.
Okay, somebody in the chat room is just yelling banana. Banana, banana, banana.
They're going to say really orange in a minute.
All right, guest five.
Thanks for the banana warning.
Okay, let's see here. Can we move on? Please?
Not sure.
Okay.
It's your podcast.
From your incoherent babbling, let's do that.
Okay. News from the webcomic. Shut up. Damn it, load, you stupid thing. Okay. Alright, news. We've had Michael Raustein on the show before, and he runs the Guest Strip Project, which is a fundraiser, entirely guest strip webcomic designed to help fundraise for the International Make-A-Wish Foundation. I should have announced this at the beginning of August, but I completely spaced. And during the whole month of August, they're updating the Guest Strip Project. I think basically daily, and they're encouraging people to click the donation, the police bribe button, which is actually the donation button, and make a at least a $1 donation to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So they got a really good thing going, and since it's the middle of the month now, go over there and donate twice as much to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. You can see that over at gueststripproject.co.uk. Okay.
Yes.
All right, fine.
Okay.
Okay, I was hoping for more reaction, but also, we got we got a milestone coming up this week.
You're cutting in and out.
You're all cutting in and out. Milestone.
I'm cutting.
There's a Dungeon Warden.
Jesus.
The webcomic Dungeon Warden is coming to an end. And we'll be ending on its 500th comic next week on August 25th. We'll get the link of that in the show notes because the internet's being really slow right now and I can't seem to pull up the address. But that's one milestone I got for this week. And do you guys have seen any other milestones happening? This is where you chime in.
I'm going to take that as a no. No, I don't believe we have.
All right, fine.
Can I plug my comic?
Is it milestone-y?
At the end of the month, it's going to be 1 year, 3 year.
Is it milestone?
What?
Oh.
You're all breaking up. At the end of the month, you're hitting what?
What?
Three years.
3 years. Awesome.
3 years. That's awesome.
2 years of good art, 3 years of comic.
And with the fanfare. No, that's really
cool. No guest five. That's
Yay.
Not. That's not a milestone. A month has to be a hundredth or a year for a milestone, or it has to be ending.
Is he still talking about bananas?
No, this is. No, he's not talking about that anymore.
It's a banana milestone.
Well then, Charlie, you're going to have to let us know in September. No more free advertising, damn it! In any case... nobody knows what's going on because they cannot read. They cannot read the chat while listening to the MP3. anyway... We gotta get this out there. If you got any milestones that your webcomic, or if you see any webcomic hitting 100, 200, etc., 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, etc., or is coming to a final close, let us know, and we'll mention it on the show, and as well on the post when the episode goes up for available to download in MP3 format. Also, there is we do the Beacon Searchlight, which is where it's basically our webcomic impressions turned into something a little bit more clever, I guess, by calling it a searchlight, because we're only going to find you if you step out into the light and you say something for us to, oh hey, take a look at that, and we'll give you a we're going to try to do brief impressions, so sometimes they've gone on for 10, 15 minutes. So it's kind of a gamble whether or not we're talk about it for a minute or talk about it for, half an hour, depending on who doesn't shut up first. But if you want us to take a quick look, there is no requirement for how many comics you have or how long you've been out. For you to send us an email saying stepping into the searchlight or beacon searchlight. They will basically go in order unless we get too many of the same, and then we'll just kind of pick from whatever. But send us an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Also, we're also looking to do webcomic rescues.
Also,
this news. I got to get this news.
Yourself stuck.
Yes. If you find that your webcomic... You do it.
And it makes me stuck.
You're coming in and out.
I just did.
What?
If you find yourself horribly and inexplicably stuck in your plot lines or having difficulty with the direction of your comic, you can email us with comic link at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, and we will, you know, if you're selected, we will attempt to help you. We'll have like a little brainstorm session and see if we can get you moving again.
That is correct.
Is that acceptable?
That is very good.
Yay, I win.
I'm
really freaking tired.
It's possible we may have one next week. I have to check with Aaron about that, and hopefully Aaron will be back next week. He's had some he's had interruptions from family coming over and wanting to visit, and he's like, you know, whatever. I say whatever, but you know, he has to see his family, you know. Just kidding. Family's good. Sure.
You're such a megalomaniac.
I don't know.
How dare you find his family more important than you, frick.
Back next week? Gee, I feel loved. Let's get rid of this Eric guy.
Next week we'll have a different guest on. I'm going to get Tara on next week of Galaxian Comics, just because she's been one of a regular commenter and talking about this at the show and such. So I want to get her on because she's had a lot to contribute in posts and such. So I actually want to get her on for a change. So. So we'll have another guest next week, and we might try to do this a little bit more often, getting a fourth person on. Of course, we got to watch that we don't have too many people on where we don't stay on task, and it's just a big spectacular failure. But in that case, we were actually supposed to have a lot of people on. And I can't help but just laugh at how dumb I am.
Yeah, we perfectly failed. Yay!
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, last week, you know, I had issues uploading that show for, like, several hours as well. I couldn't get a break for that show at all.
Did you?
Yeah.
You were asking for trouble there. I'm sorry.
I was trying to upload.
You just kicked your arse for a week.
The FTP was having issues or something like that, but I eventually got it up, so... yay, spectacular failure. Those are still kind of fun. Hopefully people like those, even though it just kind of goes all crazy and angry. And I, you know, how many times did I swear in that show? That was a question.
17?
I have no idea.
Punctuation. Okay. It was really a punctuation.
Yeah, but there was some extra content I managed to splice out of episode 37, which you can find on TalkShoe, and you can listen to that. I forgot to mention that on the show last week, so you can listen to extra content for episode 37, talk about basically the Halloween cameo caper coming up on the crossovers, the webcomic crossover and cameo archive forums. They're setting this up. If you're interested, we'll have show links to direct you if you're interested in partaking in crossovers. You have until September 1st, I believe, to sign up to try to get involved with a crossover going on or even very involved cameos, I should say. It depends. And, Tanya, you mentioned that you were interested, but I haven't seen any posts yet.
I know. I'm still thinking about it. I'm trying to figure out if I can find an easy way to do it. And, like I mentioned, I went on this little ghost hunt last night. I went with a paranormal research group. And so that was kind of going to be my next, like, little storyline. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I figure out how quickly this little bit is going to, I'll know.
All right. Well,
I'll know before September 1st because that's the deadline.
Yeah. well, in any.
Just being extra responsible there.
Well, in any case, you can also still submit your characters to be cameoed in the background since it is taking place at a mall. So, you know, there's a lot of possibilities there. I love cameos. I love crossovers. So we'll get that all in the show links as well. In fact, my comic, PSI, has already started. They were actually at the mall. And I'm doing a crossover. Well, by the time you get the MP3, I've been doing a crossover with the Kamix. And so hopefully that'll be cool, and you guys can check that all out in retrospect. So there's that. But we are really, really over our time this week, and these shows are just getting longer and longer, it seems. So is there anything else you guys need to add?
Nope.
All right, cool. Well, chat room, thanks for hanging out with us, and sorry for the little delay in getting the show live today. But you can also just, you know, wait and download the MP3 with the full audio. So so anyway, this has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
This is Tanya of Betapoem.com.
This is Eric of Xern.com.
We'll see you next week then.
I'm like, wait, what?
No, you gotta say goodbye. Say goodbye.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Well, Dan, if you want to stick around for the news, that's quite all right. Otherwise, you're free to leave. You don't have to be tortured by us anymore.
Well, after you went through all the trouble to say that goodbye, I'll probably just sign off then.
Okay. All right. Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye. Nice. People are leaving out of pity for you.
That's sad. I'm pathetic.